Welcome to the Christ Life Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Olubi Johnson. For more information about this podcast and our other resources, please visit spcconline.org. God bless you.
Our Father and our God, what a great honor and privilege it is to know the true God. And us not to know you, but also to be privileged to fellowship with you, that it would please you to visit our gathering, our lives with your tangible presence. We don't take it for granted. We thank you for the example of our father David, as it is written in your word, a man after your own heart, who brought your presence down without all the Levitical ceremonies. You honored him in the Old Testament as though he was living in the New. Now today, you're raising up sons of David after his spiritual pattern to glorify you in the earth. Thank you. As we go into your word, I humble myself under your mighty hand. I ask for fresh unction and anointing from heaven. Firstly, upon my heart and my lips, so I will speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are physically present here and those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you, Father, through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray as I speak, and the power of the Holy Ghost be released in great and insufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and not hearers only. We ask for all of these mercies in Jesus' wonderful name. Help me to speak with precision, to redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. In Jesus' name we pray. This afternoon I have a present truth instructional message. What we mean by present truth is, the Bible says, thy word is truth. So it's something from the Word of God that has present prophetic application and fulfillment. It is crucial or necessary for all of us to understand that all Scripture is prophetic. That's an understanding that is not very common. The Bible says no prophecy of the Scripture. So all Scripture is prophetic. And it is the will of God that the church fulfills all the prophetic scriptures. I was meditating between yesterday and this morning, and one of the things the Lord was reminding me of, which we shared here recently when we're talking about manifestation of sons of God, was that one of the things the sons of God are going to do, the manifestation of sons of God is going to do, is to fulfill all the law and the prophets. Not some of it, all of it. Jesus said he came not to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill. And he also gave a timeline. He said that, you know, heaven and earth will not pass away until everything I've said be fulfilled. And that's why, as by the grace and the mercy of God, some of us, I'm not the only one, there are others that I know God has. I may not even know them. No, there are a lot of people who don't know I exist. Just like I don't know a lot of other people exist. If you went to some of these men who I frequently quote, spiritual fathers that I have followed, you know, some of them are dead now, they've gone to heaven, like E.W. Kenyon, Kenneth Hagin, people like, you know, Brother Copeland, they don't know I exist. They never heard of me before. Ken Hagin, I just met once or twice briefly, but he doesn't know me. I don't know him personally. You know, I didn't know him personally, rather. You know, others I've not really met. So, you know, and that's something we all have to be aware of. Just as you don't know people, people also don't know you. Just people don't know you. There are other people who may be like you that you don't even know. That's why it's very foolish to think like Elijah, that I'm the only one. God will amaze you. That he has 7,000 who are hiding in caves somewhere and have not kissed Baal. Hallelujah. So it's always good to tread softly. The message today is called Prayer and the Ministry of Angels. And characteristically, or rather, you know, uncharacteristically, you know, when I began to prepare the message, the Lord said, give them a definition of prayer. I said, all people know what prayer is. He said, Tell them again, even though they may have heard it and they have known it over the years. You know, Peter said, I will put you into remembrance of these things even though you know them. So let's go. Prayer is communication between man in the physical realm and God in the spiritual realm through the avenue of words, thoughts, and corresponding manifestations. I'm going to say that again because it's a mile deep. Prayer is communication between man in the physical realm and God in the spiritual realm through words, thoughts, and corresponding manifestations. What that means is that when you think something or you pray something, God will respond, even though God is invisible in the spiritual realm, but there'll be some corresponding manifestation of what you thought and said. And that's how you communicate with God. That's how prayer goes from a religious liturgy and formality into an active reality of fellowship with God. Might I add, for the benefit of those who may be listening to me for the first time, that the spiritual realm is real, although it is invisible. And that's what makes prayer very difficult for a lot of people. Because when they pray, they don't see anybody. So some people say, oh, is God even there? Is he even hearing my prayers? They base their prayer on how they feel. Oh, I don't feel like praying. Oh, I feel low. Oh, I'm feeling, you know, sad. So I can't pray. All that is a consequence of spiritual ignorance as well as spiritual immaturity. For the unbeliever is ignorance. For the undeveloped Christian, it's immaturity. Prayer has nothing to do with how you feel. You're operating spiritual principles and laws. Just like, even if we're feeling, maybe, let me just give an example. It just came to me now. Imagine you're feeling weak. You know, or I don't want to use the word sick. You know, or you're feeling discouraged. Then you take the remote control of your television and you switch it. The remote control will work irrespective of how you're feeling. It's a law. It's an electromagnetic wave that's moving at the speed of light, that goes into the television and it triggers some electronic circuit inside it to switch it on or to change the channel. Your physical feeling, it has nothing to do with how you're feeling. Not only that, it has nothing to do with the dress you're wearing. It will work with a white dress as well as with a blue one. That's the reality of spiritual things. When you're not feeling good, still speak God's word. Still pray. The way you feel is not going to do. You're activating spiritual forces. And when you understand that, you will do it irrespective of how you're feeling. And you know the good news? It will now change how you're feeling. Give the Lord a clap offering. But you don't understand that prayer is communication between man who is in the physical world and God who is in the spiritual world. When we mean spiritual world, we're talking about a realm of existence that is operating above the power, the natural power, I would use speed, you know, of light, of natural light. When I became a Christian, God gave me this revelation, and then it was confirmed to me by Kenneth Copeland. I was in England. I was studying, you know, I was doing engineering, communication engineering, and I was dealing with waves and, you know, building antennas and radio waves, space communication and satellites, you know, all the stuff that is being, that has become commercialized today. This was 42 years ago, you know, 1980, were at the cutting edge of research at that time. They had not yet come into commercial production. Mobile phones, we didn't get mobile phones until 1990, you know, late 80s. Before people, you know, who had phones were these big, gigantic things, you know. And that gave me an insight, you know. So when I began to read my Bible and I began to pray a lot in tongues and get revelation knowledge, I began to have this understanding that you move above the speed of light. You move into another realm. It's real. It's just that it's operating at a level of power or energy, if you like, that your physical senses cannot perceive. And being a physicist, my first degree was in physics. And then my second, you know, in engineering. And then, you know, solid state physics. And I did a PhD later on. And that background really helped me because I know it's real. The fact that you can't see something does not do away with its reality. And it's because of the level of energy and power that it's operating that your physical senses do not perceive them. Even something like, for example, when you go to the hospital, you know, if you go to the radiology department where they have x-rays, you'll see them draw this big X. Then they'll say, don't, you know, there's a place you shouldn't go past, you know, because it's dangerous. But if you went in front of an x-ray machine, stupidly, now don't do it, foolishly, and you exposed yourself, you won't feel anything. But it's destroying cells in your body. It's later that you will now know that it has, you know, destroyed some of the cells, you know, in your body, God forbid. But the fact you didn't feel anything doesn't mean that the x-rays did not penetrate your body. But they were operating at the speed of light. X-rays, ultraviolet rays, infrared waves, visible light, radio waves are all in what we call the EM or electromagnetic spectrum. They all operate at the speed of light. You can't perceive them. This microphone, for example, has no physical wire. But there is an amplifier up there and a tuner that there's a wave coming from this mic now to that place. But you can't see it. But it's real. So that's what spiritual things are. They are operating at a higher level of energy above the spiritual world, above the physical world, rather. And spiritual things create, control all physical events. Every physical thing you can see came from the spiritual realm, from God. So when we pray, that's why it was John Wesley who said this. Kenneth Hagin quoted it, and I learned it from Kenneth Hagin, and it was true. He said, it is more important to learn how to pray than it is to get a degree. Now, he didn't say getting a degree was not important. But he said, it is John Wesley. You know, he said, it's more important to learn how to pray than it is to get a university degree. See, if you learn how to pray and you get the wisdom of God, you can get 10 degrees. But if you have 10 degrees and you don't know how to pray, when some problems come, your degrees will not be able to help you. Because all your degrees are physical. Give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. So prayer is crucial. Now, I entitled it Prayer and the Ministry of Angels. And I'm going to be talking about how angels operate when we pray. Angels are spiritual servants of God. They serve, you know, God created them as his servants. But they were sent to serve us. They're God's servants, but they're delegated, they're designated to look after us, to serve us, God's people. You see Hebrews chapter 1, and look at verse 14. Well, verses 13 and 14. It says, and to which of the angels, I didn't hear you, said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Now, he didn't say that to any angel. He said that to the Lord Jesus Christ and to you and I. You know, religious people think angels are superior to men. There's a lack of understanding of the Bible. Men are superior to angels. Because men are made in the image and the likeness of God. Not all the angels are made in the image and likeness of God. And the few of them who are, there are still some things in God that they don't have. That's what makes us superior to angels. I know that blows the religious mind. The reason why man now looks inferior to some angels is because he's fallen, because of sin. But through Jesus Christ and the redemption that we have in him and the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been elevated back to the position from which we fell and even above it. And we're now seated with Jesus in the heavenly places, superior to any angels. Far above, everybody scream it. All principality, power, might, and dominion as angels. So, are they not all, verse 14, Hebrews 1, ministering spirit, the word minister means serving, sent forth to minister or serve for them who shall be heirs of salvation, that's us. So, angels are spiritual servants sent by God to serve us. Now, the crucial thing about angels that we need to understand is that they have the ability from God to be able to operate both in the physical and spiritual realms, sometimes simultaneously. So even though angels are spirits, and they normally operate in the spiritual realm, as God wills, sometimes you will see them in the physical, and many times you won't even know that they're angels. And even when you don't see them, they actually affecting physical things. And that is why our prayer lives are intricately, I would say intricately, interwoven I didn't hear you. With the ministry of angels. You can't talk about prayer and not talk about angels. If you really understand prayer properly. Why? Because the angels are an essential, intricate ingredient in our prayer lives. When God answers prayer, he sends angels as spiritual servants to actually deliver the answer. And there are many examples in the Bible. You know, I'm just going to give a few. Look at Abraham and Lot. When Lot foolishly separated from Abraham because of covetousness and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Another message for another day. And, you know, Mommy preached about Lot's wife the other day. But the point I just want to make is that Abraham stood before God when God told him he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, thinking about Lot. He said, if you can find 10 people there, he bargained it down from 50 to 10. And God said, yeah, sure, if I find 10 people there, I will save the place. So as the time of judgment approached, God sent two angels, if I remember rightly. But if you saw them, you won't know they were angels. You just think they are men. And they went to Sodom, and Lot, I don't know if initially he knew they were angels, but he knew they were strangers, and he offered them hospitality. They now told him later on that it was God who sent them, that they are angels, to get him and his whole family out of Sodom because judgment was going to fall from heaven the next day. That night, some foolish men from Sodom, perverse men, because the angels were men, they looked just like men, you know, wanted to, you know, come and have homosexual relations with those angels, foolish people. And they came to the door of Lot's house and began to bang the door and said, bring those men out. If you don't, we're going to burn your house down and everything. You know what the angels did? They were physical. They were, although they are angels who operate, but they could operate in the physical. So you could see, touch them, you know. They smote those men with blindness. And the next day, they held the hand of Lot, his wife, and the girls. Their husbands didn't listen to them, and escorted them out of Sodom. They literally dragged them. Physical. We know the story and Lot's wife. I'm not going to go into all of that. Another very good example is Daniel. We know the story. Daniel prayed. And angel Gabriel, we now know his name is Gabriel, you know, came from heaven and brought him an answer. And he told him, he said, look, the first day you prayed, God heard. And I was sent that very first day. He said, but the prince of Persia and other wicked spirits, that's why principalities and powers. The word principality just means authority. You know, you have the principality of Monaco. It's like a local government. You know, let me just say this on the side. Many Christians are very unaware of this, you know, sadly. That's why Paul said, I will not have you ignorant concerning spiritual things. God doesn't want us to be ignorant. Everywhere you have a human government, there is a corresponding demonic government that has been assigned to the place. Just start one. There is local government, Ibadan North local government, there's a principality there. Hello. Hello. For your state, there's a principality. You know, for Nigeria, there's a prince. For Africa, there's a prince. For England, there's a prince. The United Kingdom. Then there's one specially assigned to London. Then there, yes. Then there's another one probably assigned to Kent. Our house in England is in a borough called Kent. You know, anywhere, once human beings start a government, Satan sends an angel there, a fallen angel, to try and control what goes on there. That's where we get principality, and the word powers just means authorities. That's where we get it from.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We believe these words have empowered you to live a victorious, transcendent life in Christ. Our mission is to equip God's people for service and build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We encourage you to enjoy and share from thousands of resources, including books, sermons, prophecies, and articles available on our website, spcconline.org. Thank you, and God bless you.